All the Rage with John Bowd. On www.tracksfm.org.
Welcome. We're running a little bit late, fashionably late as usual. A lot going on this week, that's why. Dispute with the post office, McStrike. And we got John back. We're on part two this week. Last week we were talking about society in general, and one of those sections we were talking about society, UK society in particular, was immaturity. And after yesterday's shenanigans, I think we should start in the House of Commons on immaturity, but there you go. I digress. John, let's kick off part two of immaturity.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. We will do. The House of Commons will be mentioned, but I don't think we'll start there. We'll slowly build up to it. For those of you tuning in live, sorry for the late delay, but being late is the ultimate act of rebellion, so that's why we do it. We live in an age of never being able to grow up. We are actively encouraged not to, in fact. Not only should you repeat your childhood and teenage years over and over again, but also someone else's from a generation or two before. Now you can hurtle towards adulthood with pyjamas of your favourite superhero in adult sizes. You can buy them in M&S, by the way. You can wear dungarees too, like one of the famous five or just some weird pervert. Plus you can still play an Xbox at 35 or later, or take more time on your makeup than you do on your politics. Then we get the language. You get grown-up adults using words like poo and wee to describe going to the toilet. Even if you have children, I can't understand why you want to talk like this, but nevertheless. Worst of all, many of these overgrown kids are having kids of their own, spoiled little brats, in fact, being raised by self-absorbed pop-bots, unable to take life seriously for a moment and trapped in unbelievably shitty jobs they make no effort to improve through collective action. I am constantly amazed that anyone expects to be taken seriously walking around wearing a Batman t-shirt or an Iron Man one in the gym that comes complete with drawn-on abdominals. It's not an example of toxic masculinity per se, but it is certainly taken up by such people and adheres to the fractured notions of being a man or a woman or whatever you are in a world totally changed and now full of people without the emotional nor, frankly, intellectual capacity or capability to understand and deal with all of it. People, it seems, often get angrier about their disappointment with the new Star Wars films, which is in itself is a nostalgia industry, than they do about life-destroying actions of corporations or political leaders. Yet when it comes to political issues, they imagine they have an opinion on and in where they go with a little to no analysis and think not only that they are right, but that they deserve to be listened to in some way. And they get very, very angry and upset when you point out they don't deserve to be listened to. Witness the recent spate of right-wing irrelevance that dismisses the demands of Extinction Rebellion. For a few reasons, one of them being because some of them were spotted popping into McDonald's to get some food. The immaturity required to even make an argument like that is seriously, is almost an acquired stupidity. In fact, maybe it is an acquired stupidity. Certainly it's one that benefits certain sections of society further up because it helps for the overall reason why immaturity bothers me so much is because it prevents actual change. And what we need now is a deeply radical change. And if the radical changes themselves happen to pop to McDonald's, or even I will, as much as I detest Xboxes and such immaturity, even if they do that when they get home, fine, but as long as we get the change. But it's a painful truth that rather than deal with life's worst and most pressing issues, too many of us would rather argue over personal politics than the ones that actually affect us the most. I have for years conducted as much consumer choice as I can for the right causes. Workers' rights, solidarity, climate change related stuff, and so on. And this certainly has a price and a place in changing things. Absolutely, it is important. But it is a minor role. And more so in a world where more and more power is taken away from people. So conducting your consumer choices as I do, as I'm sure many other people do, is fine, but I have never imagined that that, along with signing petitions online, which is also very helpful in some cases, but it's not the be-all and end-all of politics. I never thought it was. In fact, if anything, it's the thing you do in the morning before you get up and go and do real politics of some description or another. I try to fly as little as possible, for a number of reasons, not least the fact that I hate aeroplanes. But no matter how many planes I do or do not get on, they take off nonetheless. Now, I'm still glad that I take the decision to try not to fly. We need strong regulation that prevents too many flights in the first place, actually, because frankly, if the flights aren't there, people can't take them. And we need no third runway at Heathrow, and we need an end to short-haul flights to begin with. So internal flights, for instance, in England, and flights from England over to France, they should be scrapped immediately, tomorrow. If new airports, runways and ports continue to be built in a modern economic ideology of endless growth, it will make not nearly enough difference. So unless, of course, we all stop flying. So that's the way it is, you see. This consumer choice thing is fine if all of us did it, if a mass of us did it, you know, a huge amount. Me not doing it, I detest Amazon. I'm glad I never, ever shop there. But I don't think Jeff Bezos is that bothered. No, I think he's doing all right. Anyway, what we have here is the reality of never being able to change anything or control your material existence. And the way people deal with this is not to resist or build alternatives, but to retreat to childhood, sometimes not even their own. The social disease that is nostalgia, coupled with modern technology, allows you to live in a bubble of eternal childhood. Do you remember the kids' program Button Moon? No problem if you don't. Just head to YouTube and you can watch a whole series. All the films at the cinema are based on comics and superheroes and other lowest common denominator dumbness. Go and see them even in your 30s and talk in detail with friends and people online about the plot, about how cleverly it all kind of turned around and about how Iron Man dies. And if you haven't actually seen that film yet, I don't care. Iron Man dies. While ignoring climate crisis or austerity, because after all, that's too depressing to think about. How many times have any of you folks received the experience I've experience of, oh, you're just being too serious about everything, you know, tonight is a party, we've left all the lights in the house on, just relax, it's cool, just chill out, it's somebody else's problem. Always somebody else's problem. Always somebody else's fault, too. Plus, we then have the social disorder of fear about getting older, meaning we have 50-year-olds with toe rings and stupid tattoos, coupled with the reactionary views of their grandparents because they have to hate and blame someone for their failure, and the individualistic notion that we have throughout society does not allow them to look into the mirror. Can't possibly be their fault. It has to be somebody else's. Naturally, people are resistant to facing up to this and will often dismiss such concerns, although only ever with a weak defence that what they are doing is not bad in any way, or that the likes of me are just being judgmental while they grade my carbon footprint with a smirk. This should also not be confused with any reactionary conservative view. This view of the world is more than happy for you to remove yourself from the real world and act like a kid forever. It's also stunningly hypocritical on the drug use issue, as we've seen in many cases in our politics for quite some time now. A pissed up and stoned population is also much easier to control than a switched on nation demanding radical social change. So conservatism really doesn't have any problem with drugs, despite the fact they're always obsessed with banning them. As much as I hate this childish behaviour, it would be easier to handle from a population that was switched on to politics, as I sort of mentioned earlier. If they were switched on to politics and economics and how they are being treated by institutions and corporations. You know, I'm sure there are many good trade unionists out there who own an Xbox. Really, you should still grow up, but the fact is you're doing great work and that's what matters. All of this doesn't really matter because culture may not change anything, but it does aid the understanding of the world for everyone. It is engaged in everyone's lives to some extent, so it cannot be shut out or shut off from any part of society or daily life as if it exists in a separate universe. Culture, by its very nature, is entwined in everything that we do. It's entwined in the things that you believe, many of which are things that you haven't actually chosen to believe. You've just adopted the cultural hegemony, as Gramsci would have talked about, that is around you, such as people taking part in war can never really be bad, even if the war is bad. The war generation of the Second World War are totally and utterly perfect in all ways, and we should only ever concentrate on their actions during that period of time, or what we imagine to be their actions during that period of time, and pay a lot less attention to them coming home and kicking that fat, overprivileged sack of shit Churchill out of office and saying we want a welfare state and building it. That's the part of our history I think we should spend a bit more time looking at and learning from, and then leaving it in the history books and going forward and doing it in our own states, in our own way ourselves. with modern technology, it does not give us a world of overgrown babies endlessly consuming. It has actually made it more dangerous, more immediate for those looking to numb the inherent worthlessness of modern living with hyper-consumption. It's also given us the politics of today. Brexit was, in part, a vote of immaturity, people believing in fairy tales about the country and the past, that all the problems of economics and politics would be solved by leaving one neoliberal trading bloc in the middle of a sea of them, and that a cabal of elite financial workers with backward establishment ideas of the modern world represented some rebellious alternative. Equally, all those responsible for whipping up the kinds of hatred we discussed in this show and in last week's show never take any responsibility for their language or their actions, even when it leads to violence against others. They usually smirk and dismiss it all while hate crimes skyrocket, because this is all in a game to them. When the Rees-Moggs and the Johnsons of the world go home at night, they leave it all behind because they can afford to. They leave their work behind in a way that many of the rest of us simply are not able to do so, because it dominates our lives in so many ways. They will never pay for anything, and this is one of the reasons why they will always be spoiled children, no matter how old they get. One Sunday morning recently, I was out about 9:30 a.m., which is fucking amazing for me, I must say, and I saw a delivery bike courier already at work, meaning, I think I can safely assume, that someone was getting their breakfast brought into them. So we're getting to the point now where we cannot even make breakfast. This is becoming like a nightmare dystopia where people risk starving if their app goes down. I mean, there was something, you know, I'm going to go off piste here a little bit. You obviously have to understand, listeners, and that this is my view and my personal opinions of the world. And of course, I've interjected it with some level of humour in order to make it bearable. But I really do have a problem with seeing delivery people out at 9 o'clock, 9:30, 10 o'clock in the morning. What are you're ordering in? You can't even make some fucking bowl of cereal or porridge. Was that, seriously, is that how? Oh, no, I better order it in. You know, what the hell is wrong with you? You're a bunch of kids. Anyway, I want to say a bit more about Brexit, and I want to say a bit about national pride. But Dave, do you want to jump in and correct me where I'm wrong?
Well, I think, John, I'm not being disrespectful to anyone. I'm not. I'm really not what I'm about to say. But I think the establishment, whatever format that is, just assumes that we don't know. And I've got to be honest, we don't know. We don't know about the global economy. We don't know about the guilds and the global markets, how important that is to us, or was to a certain section of the country. We don't know about the financial, global financial markets or the banking markets, which didn't have a safety net until 2010. We don't know how some of the NHS is funded, or through New Labour, and I think the establishment just assumes we don't know, so we're happy to wear the Batman t-shirts and talk about going to the gym and nice cars. I'm trying to think, Netflix, that's a good one. What else do people talk about?
Watching the wrong things on Netflix. You know, there's some good stuff on there. You just need to.
Yeah. I mean, just about reading and understanding and getting to it and quite hungry for facts. I've learned a lesson since the last election: is don't debate anyone on social media. It's just futile. What does communism mean? What does Marxism mean? What does socialism mean? First World War One, Two, Vietnam War, Cambodia, Eastern Europe, the Berlin Wall coming down in 1989, Reaganomics, Thatcherism, the swinging 60s, Clement Attlee, Ted Heath, John Major. I could go on, John. But society or the establishment couldn't. They know we don't know about that stuff. And the minute we do mention it, people switch off because they believe what they will believe, and then they'll go on and say, "Well, I'm not listening to you anymore. I'm going to put on my Batman t-shirt and go to the gym." So, and I think society is content with that. Low turnouts at elections traditionally get certain parties in, and when there's a high turnout, certain parties don't get in. 13.5 million people don't vote in any election. I get what you're saying. I totally do. And yourself and Judge Jim come on and talk about all sorts of things, and it's great because you're well read. Unfortunately, John, when we got that picture of your steam coming out of your ears on your show, on your show post, it is, and I have lost the will to live. I think we're just a society that take the good bits and put up with the bad bits. We're so apathetic, and you know, and we are immature. Well, I'm not. Well, maybe not. I like Godzilla. Go on, John.
Well, actually, it's funny. So I watched the original Godzilla, the 1961, not long ago. It's a bloody good film, actually. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. Yeah, I mean, okay, coming back to that, I agree with what you pointed out there. I just feel like this... I'll tell you the worst part about this, mate, is this argument isn't really new. I've seen it coming for a long time. I've argued about this for many years on my own. And that's the worst part about it, is because sometimes being right is a terrible thing. And this is a good example of it. But also, I think the part that I kind of alluded to earlier, and you've pointed out there, is about people being kind of apathetic about politics. But that doesn't stop them from having a supposed opinion. And that really grates me on a personal level, I'll be honest, but also just on a wider context level of people who seem to think, well, I don't really have any respect for knowledge. It's not just that. All this kind of idea of us being civil to each other. I essentially have no respect for you if you, as you've talked about the show before, did, pirate radio actively in your youth, in which you suffered and strived for that. And let's just imagine, I do know a little bit about it from talking to you, but also reading books and research, but let's just imagine I don't know anything about it. So we're talking at in a context, whatever we are, and I just sort of go, oh yeah, I know about that. And it's like, well, no, you don't. But you still seem to think that because you have an opinion, and opinions are now valued higher than facts, that everyone should jump to it and listen to you and include you in the conversation at an equal level. And you know what? As someone who's like we have as trade unionists fought for things like equality, it's a funny kind of equality you're looking for here, because you're trying to argue, because the actual result of all this is the situation we're in now, where we're effectively told to give equal weight to the viewpoints of white supremacists or climate change deniers, all these other people, for the sake of balance. And we shouldn't, because those people are factually inaccurate. And they have a very, very specific agenda. And that agenda comes back to the parts of the media which have been sold off. In the meantime, other parts of our society, like the NHS, are slowly and quietly sold off, to which, as you say, people still do nothing about, yet still complain about. And then what do they do with their complaining? Well, they invoke a very dangerous, not just factually inaccurate, but dangerous tropes, as we've seen in our modern times with hate crime going up. Dangerous tropes against foreigners, so that someone is now effectively a potential target in the street for abuse because they are perceived to, they shouldn't be here for some reason. This almost used to be a joke. I remember a mate of mine years ago, it was never a joke to me, but you know, he's pointed this out, his girlfriend came over to live here with him, and she was Italian. She was quite dark-skinned. And she was working in the loft license they both worked in, and I can't remember what the argument was about, but some woman was having an argument with her, something to do with them not giving her something. It was near Christmas. And she turned to my ex-girlfriend and said, well, you don't celebrate Christmas in your bloody country anyway. And then, of course, they all pointed out, A, leave the shop now, B, she's Italian, you fucking idiot. But, you know, it's always like this thing that it's okay to, and that in itself does, it comes from many places, but actually one of them is immaturity.
Well, John, what I've recognised on Facebook and on the debates, so I saw it in 2017, and I'm seeing it now, I'm keeping it out of it now because I'm working,
yeah.
We're doing other things, and it's huge. But people's fallback position is immaturity, isn't it? It's so their fallback position is Boris Johnson is just. You mustn't comment what I'm going to say because I know what you're going to say, but don't say it. So, okay. For example, Boris Johnson is a racist and woman beater, and that's the fallback position, yeah. Rather than debate about, well, he said this, but he didn't do it, or we done that in whatever, and the buses were lies or whatever. You know, when we talk about and we debate, the people's fallback position is it is to be just name calling
personal politics.
Yeah, your personal politics. So if you can't debate, you either stop commenting or you're just down to name-calling. And I'm not talking about kids here. They're 40, 50-year-olds. So yeah. When we talk about public services, sometimes you will deal with a person that's never had to call the ambulance or wait inside A&E for 6 or 7 hours. They will do. Or they will know someone that will eventually, or they will have a loved one that has to access that service. But until it happens to them, there's either two things: they get very angry, or they just put up with it. And it's the second bit that bothers me, put up with it. That's the bit that bothers me. And in regards to racism, you may be Anglo-Saxon or Caucasian, but your grandchildren may meet someone from an ethnic minority. And you will welcome that person in your family because it's quite natural. And then you have grandchildren or nephews and you love them. And then they will experience racism. And at some point, we all will experience racism. No access to the NHS. Cannot get an appointment at the GP. We may need the police at some point. We may need the fire brigade at some point. And we may need jobs at some point. And you know what scares me? I think out of all the things I mentioned, what scares me is, oh, well, this country's shit and life's shit and I'll just put up with it. And then when it comes to general elections, we stop listening to the policies and we start listening to newspapers' interpretations of those policies because it suits them. It suits them, not suit. They're not going to experience no access to the NHS. They're not going to experience racism because racism, in my opinion, is from the elite and they are the elite. They're not going to experience not having a job because they've got more money that generations of us will still not be able to spend. So we will say, okay, it must be right because they're telling us. And we have lost, and this is the sad thing, and I must say, about the Labour Party going for the general election 2017, and I must say that when it came to that party's policies at that time, well, we're quite used to those policies now. He's not such a raving lunatic after all, but at that time he was seen as a lunatic, and it was really sad that a party gave us a manifesto that things were missing. The fundamental things, actually, and then we're debating it because the system and the establishment said they don't know what they're talking about. They'd rather go to the gym. Let's open up more gyms on every corner because that would be people's priority. John, it's just disgusting, really. To be honest, I just, not with you, but on Facebook, some of the things that are said, and I'm going to go on record here, right? I think people are stupid and establishments want you to stay that way. So let's not debate. I'll let you know where your nearest gym is.
Yeah, no, I quite agree. And also one interesting point of view about the gym, and I'm saying this as somebody who goes to it, although I'm very selective about the gyms I go to, is someone pointed out in a TV show I was watching with Grayson Perry, when he said, you know, there's loads of big gyms in Sunderland. And he says, this is where we used to do industrial work. We used to build things. Now people just come in there and build their own body. And again, that might have more meaning to it if it wasn't that kind of personal expression is your only form of identity. And also, you know, you don't take part in proper collective forms, which is why you're so vulnerable. But also, it's all about the body. It's never about the brain. You know, I mean, ultimately, people, you know, you can take me calling you stupid and or whatever, whichever way you like. But I'm only trying to get you to take your life more seriously. money trying to get, because you can get involved in this stuff. Everybody can. Everyone can do a little bit. I'm going to be doing, and if we get to the end of this section before the end of the show tonight, I'll talk a little bit about the general election. Although, to be honest, I think that's something we can put to a little bit to one side this week, because it's going to be a 5-week process. I think we can talk about it quite a bit.
Well, I think there's twists and turns, and just for the listeners out there, we're going to do a election special. I forgot when the date is actually. It's the 9th or 12th.
12th.
So Judge Jim will be doing like we did in 2017. So we'll be hooking up live to all this, the relevant TV media, and try and catch the early polls at 10. Do listen out. Sorry, John. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say I might have to gate crash that one for a little while. Yeah, I think I can't resist. Too much fun. Yeah, so, I mean, as I would say, there's a lot in what you say there that I think is right and that I agree with. But, I just don't see... Everything just seems to be getting worse and people seem to be even more switched off. Saying that, I think generations now are less switched off comparatively. Certainly than mine. My generation is vile. Just children of Thatcher, really. But,
well, John, there's a trade union thing that I do... And all the things that we fight for in the workplace, sometimes, and it's not a trick, and I don't want to do it, but sometimes I let the employer, I pretend to ignore it, and they do it.
Yeah.
And then it goes really badly. And then...
Actually, I've done that too.
Yeah, and then we step in. So in regards to people's fear of Brexit and the consequences... My view is let it happen, and then we'll see.
I tell you what, mate, you're not wrong, but the problem I have with that is the people who, and I'm going to say a little bit about this in a second, the people who brought us Brexit, the people who want it, are the ones who are the most shielded from it, and they're also the ones with the outlets to the media. I do think that the estimate of 120,000 people that have died because of austerity, that has been taken in some ways because of a lack of humanity, which you displayed brilliantly this week by putting on the Daily Mail's comments page about the poor 39 people that died in that container. Shows you just how fucking sick some of these people are. But also it's because it's not real to them, because it's not real to the class that rules them.
Yes, because it doesn't happen to them, it doesn't affect them, and it happens to other people that the media say. Look, if I was a political strategist, I'd be doing something exactly what's happening now. And I think it will happen. But I think we just got to take a step back. And for those people who have all of a sudden become experts, I swear to God, there's 75% of people out there now on Facebook that wouldn't know blue and red and political parties' policies if it came up behind them. They're now experts when it comes to Brexit. I say British because there was a threat of them not being British. I promise you, if you believe that, let's just do it. Let's see how it affects you.
Because people got University of Life.
Their political persuasion will change because they cannot get a pint of milk. That's it.
With that in line, I mean, I'm very interested in continuing some of this conversation. I've only got a little bit left of the main subject, so let's carry on with that, and then maybe we can talk and possibly even give these people an awful song at the end or something. Anyway, so we've been talking. So you've mentioned Brexit. I'm glad you did. I mentioned it earlier. I just want to say a little bit more detail about the attitude towards the EU referendum, and among other things, how I believe that it was wholly immature on all sides, and has actually in a lot of ways been more so since. The Remain side simply assumed the people of Britain would never be stupid enough to vote for their own demise, which shows how little they know about history and the world we live in now. After all, of course, they'd had 30-odd years of class war from above, and that had put them in their place and made sure no collective action was ever likely to come from that direction again, from our direction. Naturally, our technocratic masters were too stupid themselves to see that, and taking everything away from someone leaves them with nothing to lose. And as Britain is a country full of spiteful, thick bastards, pulling the walls down around you was not really something that was beyond their remit. They were quite happy to do it. But the real shock for the leaders of the Remain side And I take my problems with that campaign out on them. Not so much voters, because I voted on my own myself, but the main campaign was not well run and not run by particularly pleasant people. Was that anyone showed up at the voting booth at all was a surprise to them. The end of the management class dream has resulted, I see it, as the collapse of the Liberal Democrats as a serious political party. And again, their notions of revoke Brexit entirely, but with nothing else behind that. You know, I don't, personally, if you could revoke Brexit tomorrow, I'd be happy to see it. But you don't, then what? It's just this idea of just going back to what it was before. What it was before wasn't good enough. The Leave side, meanwhile, is where the real dark arts have been practiced. Pure hate in the mainstream. Hate of foreigners, asylum seekers and refugees, even when you've never actually met any of them, of a mythical bureaucratic European elite, and those hates brought to you by some of Britain's biggest political losers, such as a privately educated money dealer, Nigel Farage, who we were told is a thorn in the side of the elite. A, if he were a thorn, they wouldn't notice, and B, that's simply not possible because he is the very same establishment, always has been, and that goes doubly so for the likes of Boris and Mogg, because they've actually been successful, unlike Farage. Leavers are racist, xenophobic, and they have no argument. They are total white supremacist fantasists who fill their empty lives with flag-waving crap, while rights for those of us who actually work, like their own grandkids, among others, will get unimaginably worse. These people believe Britain is special in some way. It's different. It's a magical place that cannot be constrained by institutions like the EU, even though it is run like any other neoliberal institution that we're happy to be members of. Britain, someone said to me the other week, actually said to me, I had a long conversation with someone the other week about this, and it was really fucking delusional. He said, Britain is an industrial country. And I don't know if you actually noticed that over the last 30 years, it's been a tad less industrial. I don't know, maybe that passed you by. And this is unlike the more laid-back side of the continent, to which you read a trope about laziness, you know, saying that the Spanish and the Greeks don't do much. And all this bollocks about the Greeks not paying the taxes, which A, isn't true, and B, is nothing new. So I don't actually really understand why people say, oh, you know, their crisis was caused by not paying taxes. Well, I've been on this earth 41 years, and everyone's always told me this thing about Greeks not paying taxes. So why is it now suddenly a problem after 40 years, or probably more, of them not doing it? That argument doesn't even make any sense. Okay, in reality, Britain is full of people doing bullshit jobs in the service sector mainly and being vastly overworked and underpaid. But rather than standing up to all of this, they want to make out that this is what it was all supposed to be like. This is a system, like we've mentioned many, many times. You've mentioned Capitalist Realism by Mark Fisher on this show. Go and read it. You know, he talks about Frederick Jameson's quote of, it's easier to imagine the end of the world than the end of capitalism. These people just cannot imagine. They think this present system is God. And that is an idea that has been bred into us by media monopoly and control, by political realities saying that you absolutely cannot do this and this, but you can just about do this if you try hard enough. Both sides in some ways in the referendum want a fantasy past. The Remainers want pre-2016 when everything worked, and the Leavers want to go back to the war years, which is easily the most insane. The war, the old days, all this stuff. Many Leavers make up stuff and try and reverse engineer their decisions for doing it. They talk about how, oh well, I don't think the EU's been very good to us. Listen, mate, the EU's been fucking horrible to Greece, okay, and Portugal and places like that. They've been really, really quite good to Britain, especially considering things. They haven't actually taken anything away from us. And certainly, even if it was nothing you would notice. The worst workers' rights in this country will not be addressed by going on about the fucking war, by the way. So that's one of the other reasons why you really, really need to shut up about. No, seriously, shut up about the war, okay? Everybody's granddad was there. So don't talk to me about yours. By the way, somebody's granddad also shuffled the paperwork, which in itself is actually a very important task. But no one talks about that, do they? They talk about fighting in the war. Well, no, okay. My extended family can tell you important stories about both sides of both desk work and in the field. But it's not something I go on about. I don't wear somebody else's medals. Why would I do that? Okay, so I just want to say something about national pride. Because again, this came up in a conversation. This is something I tend to do, actually. Dave's familiar with this, is that I very rarely have the conversations I want with people, because most days I normally wander around in a swampy daze wondering what day it is and trying to shake off the antidepressants. And it's only later on that I sit down and screed this shit into my laptop and come up with half an idea for a show. So, yes, National Pride. Off the top of my head, while I was writing this, I could think of a minimum four places where people are not putting up with the shit that is given to them by the dominant system. And by the way, if you care, those four places are Chile, Hong Kong, Iraq, and in Chicago, specifically the teachers' strike in Chicago. Now, for future reference, both Chile and the Chicago teachers' strikes are hopefully going to be bases for future shows of All the Rage. I'm not sure when, but I'm off next week, so I'll see if I can get some time to write them then. I was hoping to get Federico back on to talk about Chile, actually. Hong Kong and what's going on in Iraq. Shout out to anyone who's out there who can tell me more on the ground details. You're welcome on the show. Anyway, sorry, moving on. So what's going on now? Well, in Chile, there are millions, a million people out in the streets fighting neoliberalism. They've had enough of the system. They even found the offices of a newspaper that supported the fascist dictator Pinochet, and they burnt it to the ground. Meanwhile, in Britain, this wonderful population of noble people who are better than all others, we must basically stay at home or stand still or go to work. Yet again, I'm baffled by what I'm supposed to be proud of in all of this. It's like the thing, again, people talking shit about the Extinction Rebellion protests. Yeah, okay, from my perspective, blocking the trains probably weren't the best move. But how anyone could be angry, especially on our transport system, that the one thing that was making them late for work was somebody standing on top of a train with a banner trying to make them aware that we are slowly destroying our own lives. I mean, you know, they've blocked the trains, they're going to be late for work. Fine, then call in sick. Or call upstairs and call your boss and go, I can't get on the train at the moment, boss. There's two great hairy fellas with a banner. I'll get in as soon as I can. Put the phone down and piss off to Berwick Street and go to the music shops. Okay, that's what London's for. And then go into work at 11 o'clock and say it's the earliest you could get there. For God's sake, take the piss out of your employer, will you? That's what they're there for. Anyway, people in more recent years, getting serious again, have died in this country for want of needed healthcare, money for living, and basic standards like good housing. And yet nobody's burning down Downing Street. You're so brave and noble in Britain that you will not even fight back against them taking away our healthcare. There is something special about being born in Britain. You're right. You're born without guts or balls or a sense of direction, these days anyway. The hyper-personalization of our times makes everything a personal battle against what I do not like. So in other words, pure personality politics is the only type that most of you partake in. So obviously nothing changes, okay? And you're not even very good at personality politics. Many reporters have asked people, for instance, at Trump rallies, or little groups like Bikers for Trump and all these lot, like what they like about that president. And it always comes down to his nastiness, his perceived anti-PC nature, which therefore somehow makes him anti-establishment. I'm not quite sure how you make that connection. Well, I mean, I do. You make a connection by being ill-educated about it. And the fact that he basically makes liberals unhappy when they're asked about his policies, tax cuts for the rich, no jobs returning to the US like he's promised, all that stuff. Most of these reporters are met with blank faces. When they talk about what do you want him to do if he gets a second term, they get, no, just keep on keeping on. They get blank faces, blank answers. And America, in this sense, is no different to this country. Now, what do you, whenever anyone says something, even about politicians I like, they say things like, oh, well, he or she speaks their mind. Well, what the fuck does that mean? What's their voting record? What do they set? What policies do they put forward? What do they believe in? What do they plan to do, or do they do? What is their actions that they wish to do when they get into a position of power? Never mind the fact that, you know, somebody mouthing off is fine. That's what I'm here for. That's kind of part of what I'm doing here. But it's not the only thing I do with these shows. And I wouldn't insult anyone's intelligence or waste Dave's time if all I had to do was sit here and talk shit about people. Like, I mean these things. There's effort that goes into it. I don't want a medal, or I don't pat me on the back. I'm just saying it's about what you actually involve. You know, if you wanted to do kind of senseless, empty rebellion, you can go back to the 90s. That's what that was about. And so many of you seem to want to, but just don't. One day we'll do a show on the 90s. It's so painful for my brain. It's really hard. But anyway, the wider problem this shows in itself is not that shows itself in the Brexit debacle, among other things, is the emotionally reductive notion of our times, and that is the inability to hold more than one view or frame of mind at any one time. We tear ourselves apart, and I'm guilty of this too, over somebody making our favourite art turns out to be a total bastard in some ways, despite the fact that they always were. You know, that's a good example to me of, and I do it, and there are people who I won't give my money to because I don't like, you know, where they come from and certain things. I think John Lydon has become repulsive. He still makes incredible music, you know, still seeing him live, seeing him sing Swan Lake, also known as Death Disco. I've seen him sing it live a couple of times. And his complete and total commitment to the details of that song is humbling and powerful. But he's a fucking prick and I don't want to give him my money. So I don't go and see him anymore. Anyway, the result of all this is an increasingly unjust world that dehumanizes so many. A world getting hotter and more dangerous. A world where, in a country like Britain, two women a week can be killed by a partner or an ex-partner, and yet you get angry and threaten revenge at someone for making an all-female version of Ghostbusters. Racism and Islamophobia are shockingly high, misogyny is almost a national pastime, and homophobia is on the way up again too. But there is no national outrage, no real one anyway. Just thoughts and prayers on social media and posting a rainbow flag emoji when you think of it. We must overhaul this system, this sick process, to make the changes is needed to save ourselves. Okay, progress needs to be more radical and reactionary characters must be shut down. The reactionary character must be shut down. That's, you know, it is an entity in itself. However, we, and perhaps me especially, need to recognise how much of this has come about as an effect of the political order, after everything that I've said. Neoliberalism, in its simplicity, has led to an understanding of life in these same terms. Everything is simple, do or don't. All is black and white. There is only one type of success, and no collective action can be allowed. This has provided the ground for mass austerity and the idea that no alternative is possible, so we must always salute the god of profit at all costs. Education reduces all to simplicity. This is a land of kings and queens exchanging power in a never-ending carnival. No word on what the people who fought for and won when they were underneath those appalling kings and queens. The nuances of left-wing thought are purposefully distorted, and any differentiation between, for instance, Marxism and how it expresses its ways in socialism or communism or even anarchism is shut down and pissed on and told that it's all the same. So whatever you do, don't go back to that, even though you were better off and happier when you had it. No wonder we have slowly got more desperate and needy. Even after all I've said tonight, I still feel that I have not really communicated all of this properly and what I think of this properly. Certainly, I don't feel like I've communicated my complete contempt for so many of you properly, but don't worry, it will come. I feel I'm unable to fully understand everything that I have talked about myself. So nobody is really immune, it seems, to all of this system. We are on a downward spiral to an inability to even communicate at the moment. And as ever, we must fight back, and we can fight back. Again, low-paid workers are fighting back already. Deliveroo are constantly fighting. I recommend going to huckmagazine.com, www.huckmag.com, and looking for an article called Riding for Deliveroo, How to Resist in the Gig Economy. And also the writer of that has written a book on the same subject. Go and check that out. McStrike, there's a McStrike campaign. There are going to be some strikes right here in Britain. They are coming on the 12th of November next month. And there is a lot of things you can do by going to the McStrike page, and you can organise stuff to promote their needs for better pay and conditions and to fight back against bullying staff and intimidation and being underpaid by one of the richest companies on the face of the planet. None of this will really address our national immaturity, but it can lead to a learning to engage with the world like a grown-up. And that ultimately is where we need to be. Dave.
Yeah, nice one, John. listen, kids, what John's talking about has gone completely over your heads, and I get that. And if you want me to decipher anything, but I'm pretty sure... that a lot of you will be able to tell me who's better on the right wing of Man City and who's better on the left wing of Man City. I've seen some really good debates, intelligent debates. I've seen some intelligent debates on wingers and defenders and pace and you know, fantastic, you know, for years and years, and I kind of disappear. I do like boxing. Why I like boxing is because two of the greatest boxers were probably classed as middle class, but all the rest had no chance and probably came from prison, and I love that. But so what John's talking about is the stuff that we don't talk about, and what he's talking about is the things that we just put up with. And what he's talking about is that the only time we've become experts is when someone said that we're going to stop you from being British, which also invented the rise of the far right, where it became racist, and the undertones of people's memes, that the memes, is it memes or memes, that they put up on Facebook are copied from right-wing groups. That means you remember that right-wing group and you don't know what right-wing is. But you're not racist because, well, I've got a lot of friends who are black. That's what you'll say to me. But it's people see that stuff, yeah? When you put that stuff up, people see it. And what John's talking about is something he's always fought for, and it may go over your head. But, so if I... We'll do a... One day we'll do a John Bowers All the Rage, and we'll say it's a football special, and then we'll let you come on talk about football, and then we'll get you.
Well, this is the thing, mate. This is my favourite podcast. Chapo Trap House did this by calling their podcast nothing to do with the content of the show, but a form of music that's popular, thinking people would accidentally kind of come onto the show and then listen and end up hearing what talks about politics. So maybe we've misnamed the show. Maybe we should call it Football Focus or something.
Well, John, I think...
Love Island. We'll call it Love Island post-show discussion.
You've gone too far now. You've gone... I'm just seeing... not just the general election 2017, but the Brexit debate, and I've taken the intelligent view that I'm not going to do anything on Facebook anymore because I'm going to fall out with people I really like and respect, and I can't believe the reactions or the non-reactions, and people have, and families have fallen out over it, and it's disgusting because it's not the debate. The debate is where this emanated from and how and who stands to gain and who pushed the button. And what have we been doing for the last 100 years as working class people? What have we actually been doing? This Brexit and this Jeremy Corbyn thing, which is not a phenomenon. It's not a... We just put up with crap for years. It's only because he had the bollocks to come out and say, well, I'm going to take loads of stick and people will personally attack me, but I'm willing to do it because Andy Burnham won't do it. Andy Burnham will chuck her an arm or a mana, or we saw what happened to Ed Miliband. He went under, but they had to bring an elder statesman in and put up with the stick. And then we've seen families in that fall out because of over Brexit. We don't even know what it means. Anyway, John.
You're quite right. I mean, I'll say a couple of things in closing. What sickens me most about people, if families want to rouse each other, I don't care. It's not my problem. But the idea of having them over Brexit, you know, it's not anything to do with your life. It is a pure rich boys campaign. It's not even a good portion of the people who are advocating leaving the EU don't even care whether we leave the EU or in the EU forever, because it doesn't make any difference to their lives. This was a bunch of rich people in the Tory party trying to settle their internal disputes. And the idea that you're tearing your lives apart for that is just obscene.
John, you know, we've got 10 minutes left, John. So in closing, I'm just going to put up, the steam mustn't come out of your ears, okay?
Okay.
I saw a debate on Facebook today. And drink your herbal tea.
I finished that.
I saw a debate on Facebook, and I saw an accusation of the Labour Party getting rid of British Steel. That's why they hated Jeremy Corbyn, because he got rid of British Steel, and I just gave up at that point.
I've said it before, mate.
I just, you know, What's the point?
Something I want to come back to just quickly in what you said about that. And I know we came on late, but I don't mind finishing early if you want to get on some records. But anyway, it's people have. This is what I mean when I talk about people having conversations or interacting with each other, which is not on an equal scale. These are the kind of debates I'm not willing to have, because you get people who are not in trade unions, who don't like trade unions, never done any work for trade unions, who come to me and say, oh, I blame all of the, I think Thatcher was better on unions than Blair was. Well, Blair wasn't good on them, but she was the one that discredited. Basically, they come and try and tell you your history. And the biggest problem I have with that is when you then talk about us having mutual conversations of respect for each other, that is utter bullshit, because you don't respect me if you think you can tell me about my own history. If you can tell me about something that is a central part of my life and which I work for as hard as I possibly can, and yet you just go, oh, no, you know what you're talking about. Listen, you're that bloke out of the Harry Enfield sketch, for some of our older listeners, and for those who don't remember it, I'm sure you can go and look it up on YouTube, okay? It's like, oh, you don't want to do that, you know, this kind of, you're that guy. And the point of that character is he's not somebody to emulate as a hero. He's supposed to be a fucking idiot. And that, you know, so this is the thing. This is why all this bollocks about having chivalrous, you know, discussions with each other on an equal footing. No, because you've never treated the likes of me or Dave as if we're on an equal footing. You talk down to us. This is why I have a problem with the middle class in general and certain others in particular. You talk down to us. But also, just one thing I want to say on education. I'm always pushing people on here I should clarify something. I'm always pushing listeners to get better educated. If you've had a rough time within the system of that, I completely understand, because so did I. I came out of school knowing nothing. Okay, I mean, I was taught things, I vaguely remember it, but I don't really remember learning anything. You find out in your own way. And today, I mean, I think that, if you want to find out about political ideologies, for the first thing you can do is go to YouTube, and you'll find a 10-minute video that explains one to you. That's the kind of thing I'm talking about. Find it your own way. You can, I mean, use this technology for a good purpose. Go looking at the podcasts. There's loads of great podcasts out there. That talk about this stuff. If you want to know about ideologies, go check out Revolutionary Left Radio. If you want to know a really good description of Marxism, a few weeks back, Russell Brand on his podcast Under the Skin did an interview with David Harvey, the writer and sort of Marxist historian. And go listen to that. Is even if you don't agree with it, the fact is that I will explain it to you in ways that are completely understandable by you, and then you won't be taken in by an idea scapegoating crap from a professional talking head of ridiculous nastiness like Julia Hartley Brewer or Melanie Phillips, when they talk a load of shit on, some of the equally men like Richard Littlejohn and Peter Hitchens, when they talk shit on a national television program. Yeah, you can just go, no, I know that's a load of rubbish. You know, doesn't he instantly make you a hardcore, left wing Antifa flag bearing Superman like me? But that's okay. You know, you can. You just have a different perspective and you have the truth. Find your own method of education. But for God's sake, grow the fuck up and actually get involved in your life rather than sitting indoors, with something to drug you from an official controlled substance to an Xbox to Love Island and just basically switching off. Because switching off is something you should be able to do because you've been on all day. You ain't on. You're permanently switched off. That's the problem. Sorry, Dave, carry on.
Yeah, look, whatever happens in this general election, I would ask people who hate what the other party are doing, see where it come from, see why it happened. It's all there on YouTube. It's fantastic, YouTube. See where it come from. There's some fantastic analogies on there. And then I think some may have a better debate. I think my debate is very centrist. I think I tend to sympathise with the other people's points of view, and then we break bread just on that, and then it tends to quieten down and the name calling stops. But I think as a society, certainly UK, if you're listening, by the way, but welcome to Greece. They've been listening to us for quite a while now.
I'm going to Athens next week. If anyone there is particularly in charge, sorry if I've mispronounced it, in that area, I want interviews. I want to talk to people. Please contact the show.
Yeah, they've been listening over 4 days non-stop now, John, and they've downloaded your show umpteen times. But what I would say is, see where it's come from. See why it happened, because that's a good thing. See where it happened, so, for example, here's a project for you. So, some may say Grenfell had illegal immigrants in there and serves them right. Okay, I'm not going to get angry, but see what they're talking about. If you see the debate today in the report, it was talking about flammable cladding. And then, here's a little tip. Go to the Great Farmer of London where they outlawed wood for building. And then jump forward to 2017 and say, well, why did they put this flammable stuff if it's been outlawed since the Great Fire of London? And then you'll see about the Industrial Revolution, and then it will lead on, and you'll say, well, why is all this stuff happening now in the politics, and why has Corbyn come in? Why did that happen? And then look at your family and see what they've done. And what they've been disenfranchised. See who's needed to access the NHS for a starter. See if you can get an appointment at your GP. And then just go on YouTube and you'll see why. I'm not saying for you to vote whatever I'm advocating. I'm just saying what I'm saying is simplifying what John's saying. Just try one of those things. Get a GP's appointment tomorrow. Get a GP's appointment tomorrow. Just try that, and then...
Well, not if there's nothing wrong with you.
We'll ring up and cancel it then, and someone else will take it. But I promise you, you will not get an appointment tomorrow. And if we want to go back to the good old days, it's not because there's more people here. It's because GPs, there's just not enough GPs and there's not enough surgeries. They'd rather you go into an A&E that's got covers about six districts. When you had six A&Es.
And why are those A&Es shut down, and why are they... I'll just say in closing here, because of the first of all, this election that's coming up, to be honest with you, I'm really excited about it, because Mr. Corbyn is not wrong when he says this is a once-in-a-generation chance. You need to get radical, and we need to definitely get behind this kind of agenda, which is about people having control over their own lives. When you boil all of it down, that's what it's about. About you being able to control your own existence, okay? And we absolutely need to get on board with that. But, you know, this idea of... I do... Something else you played on there, Dave, and I think we need to talk about this in a wider show. But there seems to be a really hideous, obscene type of morality which is attached solely to the notions of national borders, which means somebody's life literally becomes worthless if they cross into the borders of this country somehow in a way that we disagree with, illegally or whatever else. Now, the illegality of crossing a border into a different country. Well, there's one kind of illegality, but to be honest with you, that's a fucking misdemeanor at best, as they would say in America. And it's not, you know, the idea that somebody deserves to die. I think you know what I think about that. I would say to you people, try looking in the mirror sometime, because I think what's going to look back at you is deeply, deeply ugly in a intellectual.
Well, John, I don't think people... I think people, when they suffer from bereavement, they go under and they don't... and I don't want it for anyone, but they... Some people just... And they take it very badly. Or rather than... You take that serene part of the bereavement. It's a little bit of a relationship breakup. I always say relationship breakups are similar to bereavement. And take a step back and take that serene time that you would do and just sort of look at everything. And that can change you, you know. But there's so much stuff available on the internet. John's mentioned Jacobean stuff all the time.
Yeah.
There's some really good stuff there. If you find that a bit too heavy, if you hate Corbyn, just type in, where did Corbyn come from? It will probably be a lot of hate stuff on Corbyn, but it will say the other side of the view. It might give you another point of view, and it may give you the ability to actually healthily debate without being immature. John?
Yeah, nicely put, Dave. I think we can close it. I just wanted one more thing I want to say in closing is solidarity with the firefighters in this country. And, you know, there's a lot of different aspects of that Grenfell report that we need to talk about. But solidarity with the firefighters, simple as that. Now, next week, I will not be here live because I'm going to be in Greece. I will, however, I'll talk about it with you off air about this, Dave. Maybe I can try and call in. We'll see what we can do. But nevertheless, I'll be back a week or so after, and we should be able to get the show moving. But yes, get out there, get radical, get educated, fight back. Please, for God's sake, just stop wearing fucking dungarees and Batman pajamas.
Cheers, John, and we'll chat next week, John.
We will. Cheers, bro. Cheers.
All the Rage with John Bowd. On www.traxfm.org.